On today's episode of Press Roots, we have a great chat with Aaron Torres from Fox Sports. Also on the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast, a guy that I think very highly of. I think he's very smart. I recommend you go listen to his podcast, listen to him on Fox Sports Radio. Go read some of his articles. He's got a few books out there as well. It's a great chat. And if you want to check us out on Twitter, it's at Press Roots Pod. We're going to keep you guys updated there on new guests coming up, what we got going on. And if you want to DM us, if you want to tweet at us, give us some ideas. Let us know what you think of the podcast. And if you'll go on Apple and give us 5 stars and give us a review, that would be great as well. We would love that feedback. And thank you very much for checking us out. And we hope you enjoy this episode with Aaron Torres. Before we get to our interview with Aaron Torres, I would like to announce that next week we're going to have Nikki Chavanel from Hogbeat.com. She's a recruiting expert over there at Hogbeat. She works with Andrew Hutchinson, a guy we've had on the show, and Nikki is very good at her job. I think she's very underrated when it comes to Arkansas sports journalism. Go check out her work. Be looking for that interview to drop next week. We're really excited to talk to her. And now, Aaron Torres. And now we welcome on Aaron Torres from Fox Sports, host of the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast. I'm a huge fan of this guy. I think he's one of the smartest people out there. I really like his opinions. And Aaron, thank you very much for coming on.
Well, when you say nice stuff like that, I mean, how could I not want to come on? I mean, I appreciate you guys having me and, always happy to talk with young guys. And I appreciate the work that you guys do as well.
Well, thank you very much, Aaron. Our podcast is called Press Roots. So we want to know, what are your roots as a journalist? Where did you come from? How did you get into media? Did you know you wanted to work in sports first? Did you know you wanted to work in media first? How did that come to be?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So I'm a UConn alum, and I actually had a call this week with our alumni association. They asked me a lot of the same questions as they kind of try to track down some people that are alumni that are, somewhat prominent. I'm not like prominent, but a little bit prominent. But so I just told this story a few days ago. So, what it really comes down to essentially this is I know it's a long form, but I'll try not to get into too many of the nitty-gritty details. But I grew up in Connecticut, always a sports fan. I mean, and, that's the crazy part of where I am at this point in my life right now, is the things that I was doing as a kid, unfortunately now getting paid to do, and it's funny because, I never consciously said when I was, I hear people say this all the time, but I never consciously said when I was 6, 7, 8, 10, 15 years old, even, I want to work in sports. It was just, I was always the kid that was, doing my own mock bracket, in college basketball. And I when I was younger, I watched a lot of Major League Baseball, weirdly enough. The Braves were on TBS every single night. And, watching that Last Dance documentary these last few months, that was really early on for me as a sports fan. Always gravitated towards college sports. I think that's probably me growing up in Connecticut when I was a kid. The UConn Huskies were and still are the biggest thing in Connecticut. And so, it was always around sports. It's funny looking back now, and I remember being in high school and something would happen in sports and somebody would say, oh, Aaron, what'd you think of this? At the time, you don't think anything of it. You watch sports. It's what you do and all that stuff. And so always been around sports, always loved sports. And, that's one thing that to this day, I, as you said to lead the show, Mason, is, you follow me. And I think that the one thing that people tell me is that they can tell in my, commentary and everything that I do love sports. And I say it all the time with this pandemic, I want sports back, not because it's my job. I'll be on the couch watching 12 hours of college football, whether I'm hosting Fox Sports Radio or not, whether I'm doing my podcast, whether I ever get paid another dollar to do this again. But to answer your question directly, Robert, I went to school actually for a year at University of Rhode Island, and then I transferred to UConn. And I was always really good at writing. I always liked sports, but I don't know that I ever necessarily put two and two together. I did eventually major in it, but at the time, and when I say it, I mean journalism, but even at the time, you know, I thought my path might eventually lead to a front office position working in a college athletic department. I was just telling the UConn people this the other day, but when I was in college, I took a lot of jobs within the athletic department. I worked for the football team when they were on their rise up with Dan Orlovsky and all those guys. Worked in compliance, worked in ticketing and marketing and stuff like that. And so really a year and a half out of college, I thought that was my path. And then I actually did it for a year. And I was kind of sitting in an office. It's no disrespect to anybody who does any work. Honestly, I respect anybody that puts in a hard day's work. But I really kind of missed the day-to-day of talking about sports, covering sports, being at the stadium, writing about games, talking about games. And so, you know, we can get into specifics. But long story short, I really started a freelance career about 10 years ago now. Started with Fox and FoxSports.com, got full-time with them in about 2016. Unfortunately, I shut down the whole website about a year and a half later, but was very fortunate to catch on with the radio team. They are incredible people. Everybody that works at Fox Sports Radio, it's the best company I've ever worked for. Love my bosses. They treat me with so much respect. And then, you know, as you said, the podcast, I've kind of transitioned back into some freelance writing. I work for a few different outlets, but, you know, we can get into any nitty-gritty questions that you want, but that's the general kind of overtone. Love sports growing up. Started as a career, 2010, 2011, was with FoxSports.com for 2 years, that transitioned to radio, and now I just kind of write wherever I can. I hope that helps kind of set the tone a little bit.
Yeah. So you're, from what I can tell, you're kind of a jack of all trades when it comes to journalism. And I feel like that's what, to be a successful journalist, you have to be able to do everything, radio, TV, writing. And from what I know, or from what I see and what you said, you used to do more writing and now you're kind of more radio. But early in your career, what was your goal? Did you want to be radio or did you want to be a writer? Or what exactly were you thinking?
Yeah, it's so funny, Mason. You know, even when I was coming out of school, that was kind of the linear path. You know, there were no – maybe podcasts had really just started, like Bill Simmons and Adam Carolla had the only two podcasts on the internet, I think, at that point. And so, you know, it's funny because I still consider myself a writer. I love to write, but I find myself doing that less, more and more because, one, you know, the pay isn't as good as radio, TV, all that stuff. It's time consuming. And, you know, that's just not where the consumer is anymore. I think the consumer now, I think there's always room for good, you know, written content. I myself am a subscriber to The Athletic. I actually did some stuff for them early on in their, you know, startup, I guess 2018, 2017, whatever. And I have nothing but respect. Mason, I've kind of, you know, the one thing that I think that I've always been pretty good at is I've been nimble, and what I always tell people is, I'm just the type of person that if you tell me to do something, I go and figure out a way to do it. You know, I did a summer of play-by-play baseball broadcast. I had never done any type of play-by-play before. And I would just sit there, you know, as I got ready to do that, and I would just sit there and watch a baseball game, turn off the volume and say, okay, you know, Mason showed up at the plate, you know, he's batting 270. You know, you just make stuff up off the top of your head and you figure it out. And so, as this has transitioned, you know, I think I'm a pretty good speaker, pretty good talker, whatever. And like I said, I was very fortunate to catch on with Fox Sports Radio first as a guest, then as a part-time host. I host my own show on Saturday and I fill in during the week. I still love to write. I mean, I still have in here, I still have a bunch of book projects that I want to do. If there was a place that I thought I could write full time, that it would be worth my time and that Frank was interested in me, it works both ways. I'm not trying to make myself sound more important than I am, but I would love to do it. And I love to write. But I think that in this kind of current media climate, It's tough to ask a person to take one paycheck from one place. And I mean, you even look at The Athletic, you know, Ken Rosenthal is covering baseball on TV for Fox. And, Bruce Feldman covers college football for Fox. And Jay Glazer does a little bit of both. He probably doesn't write even as much anymore. But so, yeah, no, I mean, I still love to write. And like I said, if there was the right opportunity to write every day full time, I absolutely would. But I think, like you said, maybe two things is one, I think that's where the audience is going. And then two, as you said, being able to be versatile, being able to talk about more than one sport. Obviously, my passions are college basketball and even college football. But, you know, hosting a national radio show, yes, I watch a lot of NFL football. Yes, I watch a lot of NBA. And even though I may not write about it as much or talk about it as much, I have opinions. So, yeah, just try to be versatile, try to be nimble. But I do still, to a degree, consider myself a writer, even though that's probably not as much as what I spend my time as in the past.
If you had to pinpoint, like, one moment in your career early on, when was the moment that you knew you could be successful in the world of sports media?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I'm always one of these people. I've always had an inherent belief in myself. And I'm probably one of these people that thinks that I'm better than I actually am. I've always had confidence. And I mean, even when I had a little blog that nobody read, I would read other, established people, and I'd say, I'm better than that guy. I'm better than that girl. And maybe I was, and maybe I wasn't. And I go back and read a lot of the stuff I wrote at the beginning, and I definitely was not. But I think when I was at FoxSports.com, and this really segued in how I got into radio, I knew the producers of Colin Cowherd's radio show. And during the 2017 college hoop season, that was the year Lonzo Ball was at UCLA. That was a big story. You know, college basketball was relevant on the national scale. I came on with Colin a few times, and I held my own, and he kept inviting me back. And, like I was telling you guys before this, or I don't even know if it was after we started recording, but, I still consider myself on the rise. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. But I think when you have the respect of somebody like Colin, who, again, has been an incredible resource to me, when he's inviting you back a second, third time, and I know I'm fortunate. I'm not trying to brag or sound cool or whatever, but that really made me feel like, okay, if I have the respect of Colin Cowherd or, fill in the blank of whoever, I'm probably pretty good at this. And I do think, even just being on Colin has opened up a ton of doors on me. For me, his audience is massive. I know people like to, take shots at, successful people on social media. I'm telling you, I know how many podcast downloads that guy gets, and you guys would all be blown away. I'm blown away. I'm jealous. And so Colin has an incredible reach. He's an incredibly nice guy. And I think the first couple times when I sat on that couch and he really said, come back, I love having you, that's when I realized, okay, this isn't just, it's not just all up here. It's not just all in my head. I might actually be pretty decent at this. So
before I ask you another question about journalism, what was it like that first time you sat on that couch? Were you like, was that the most nervous you've ever been or what?
Well, it was funny because I got a call at the last second to do the show. And at the time, FoxSports.com was a full-time, fully functional website. And I got a call like an hour before, and the website wasn't based in the same place as the studio. And it was only about a 20, 25 minute drive. But, I kind of haggled with the producers and I said, do I really have to come in? What am I going to be on air for 10 minutes? And they said, well, Colin really likes having people in studio. And I said, I can't get there in 20 minutes or half an hour or whatever. And so we did it by phone. And so amazing, at first I was very nervous. And then, you get on air and it's like, I think you guys probably dealt with the same thing in whatever you guys do is your mind clicks into that. I'm talking, this is what I do. And you're not really cognizant of, of who you're speaking with and all that stuff. And so that worked out well. And then I could be mistaken, but in the springtime, a lot of the FS1 shows go to radio only because of the NASCAR package. There's a lot of NASCAR stuff Thursday, Friday. And so there were a couple of times where he was doing his radio show from a radio studio, and I'd probably been with him two or three times before I'd actually been on TV, and there was a level of comfort there. But yeah, the first time I got on the phone with him, I was nervous, but I remember it was something about Kentucky, and I pushed back. I remember mentioning Devin Booker, and I think the question was about, you know, does Calipari really coach, or does he just recruit the best player? I said, look, Devin Booker was a four-star, you know, fringe top 40 guy coming out of high school, and he was a lottery pick. And so for some reason, I haven't ever listened to that segment, but I seem to remember me pushing back with Devin Booker, and that was what sold Colin on me. And then, like I said, I was able to do in-person stuff with him and then get on the couch in the actual TV studio. But for sure, the first time I'm nervous, just like anybody else, just like, you know, whether it's him, whether it's the first radio hit I ever did, whether it's the first radio show I ever did, I think any time that you're at a potential turning point in your career, there's always going to be a little bit of nerves.
I ask that because Colin's a guy that I really look up to as a yep. young journalist, as well as you. But for you, when you were early in your career, which according to you, you still are, but who were people that you looked up to a lot that really made you want to get into sports journalism?
Yeah, it's really funny. So I'm in my like mid 30s now, and you know, I probably am a little older than I look, but you know, I think everybody that kind of started around the time that I started, everybody looked up to Bill Simmons. And I know that Bill Simmons now is podcast guy, and you know, he doesn't do as much as he used to do, but back then he was a writer, you know, kind of what we talked about even a little bit with my career. And you know, I don't even know if you guys remember Bill Simmons as a writer, but he was a really talented writer. But what really kind of separated Simmons is that, you know, he started out, for lack of a better term, as a blogger, and I mean really good at what he did, but you know, he was the guy that kind of created fan, you know, reporting, fan journalism. I don't know if you want to call it quote unquote journalism, but you know, he was the guy on his couch watching games and writing about it, and he built up a pretty big audience that way. And I think, you know, you can ask anybody that's probably 30 to 40 years old, he influenced a lot of people. He made a lot of people believe if Bill Simmons can do this, I can do this. Now, there's only one Bill Simmons. There aren't many people that have made it a full-time career, certainly to the effect that he has, but there are so many people. And even now, I mean, I'm still amazed. You know, I don't really consume as much of his content. I don't really listen to his podcast. That's no knock. I just, you know, I have my personal preferences, but it's kind of like what I was saying with Colin a minute ago. You know, I'll get texts and DMs and whatever from the randomest people of, you know, did you hear what Bill Simmons said on his podcast or this or that? And it's people I don't even think like sports. And to go back to Colin, I mean, I remember you asked me about the first time on the couch, and I remember the first time I was on that show, and I was getting texts from people that I didn't even know liked sports. And they were like, dude, I heard you on Colin Cowherd. That's so awesome. Congratulations, this and that. And it's the same with Bill Simmons. His reach is incredible. But he was the guy for sure. And I mean, I think there's so many people probably from about 28 to 35, 36, 37 that kind of just said, look, if this guy can do it, maybe I got a shot. Some of them have been really successful. Some of them, you know, kind of petered out and stopped doing this years ago. But I think he was really the first guy that made you feel like, okay, you don't need to go to a specific school. You don't need to have a specific degree. You don't have to start at a specific newspaper on a specific beat. And you can still be pretty successful at this.
So going back to what you said earlier about, you know, you sort of have to balance a lot of forms of media. You know, you're a writer, you host a podcast, you do radio. You also have to balance social media, right, as a part of being a journalist in the digital age. How does that impact your work? How important is it to your work?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, it's so it's crazy. There are times, and I truly believe this, like, if I didn't have to be on social media for my work, sometimes I'm like, I don't think I would have social media because, you know, you guys know it's part of what we do. But really, especially without sports, it's really, really, really toxic right now. And some of it's justified, some of it isn't. And so with me, you know, what I always say is, guys, and what I always say, whether I'm doing a radio show, whether I'm doing a podcast, whether I'm writing, or whether I'm just sending out a tweet, what I always like, this is the way that I frame it, is if I can't bring something interesting to the conversation, then generally I'm just not going to tweet about it. So I'll give you an example, like probably 3 weeks ago, whatever it is, Cam Newton signs with the Patriots and everyone wants to do like the, and you know, and the crazy thing was, you guys remember it happened, whatever, 7 o'clock at night, you know, it was just the randomest thing. I mean, you know, maybe the guys that cover the NFL full-time knew it was coming. I had no idea it was coming. And it was one of those where it was so shocking. I mean, I do think I sent out a tweet, but you know, you see people sending out 2, 3, 4 tweets and it's like, you know, are you adding anything to the conversation? And so with me, you know, especially now that sports have been gone, now I think it's now more because especially in college sports, there's real conversations about, as we record here, what is the season going to look like? When is it going to start? Those kind of things. I think I have something to add to the conversation, so I've found myself picking back up more. But I think really over the last probably month, 6 weeks, I think I've really scaled back because there's nothing going on in sports. You know, for whatever reason, I'm just not a very political person. I'm not a person that gets offended if people say something dumb and feel like I have to jump into the conversation and try to cancel them and get them thrown out, you know? So I haven't had much to add to the conversation. There are important conversations going on in this country right now. I'm not the person you need to listen to about them. Now, if it's about, you know, is Cade Cunningham going to stay at Oklahoma State? Is college football going to start on time? I think I have good things to say, interesting things to say. So, you know, I am on social media, and I do think, you know, the thing that I really believe is you have to be where your consumers are, right? And so, you know, I'll admit I was really late to the Instagram part. You know, I had no personal or, you know, professional Instagram account until about a year and a half ago. And then I realized, guys your age, everybody in college, I don't even know if you guys use Instagram. Maybe you've moved on to Snapchat or whatever. But I realized, you know, there's a great consumer base on Instagram. It's a different kind of content. It's more visual than written or even audio. But you have to have a presence there. You know, I've tried to ramp up my YouTube channel, which is really just, you know, segments from my podcast or whatever. But you know, it's where you have to be where the consumers are. And I think especially, and every person in the media is trying to hit, you know, the demographic of the young male, because you guys are the ones that have time to watch sports and react and talk about it, is you have to go where the consumers are. And so if that's social media, that's where I'm going to be. If there's another way to connect with the consumer, and it's not social media, and in 5 years, if there's no social media, which, you know, I don't think that's going to happen, but there's another way to connect with consumers, that's what I'm going to do. You know, I mean, I think that a lot of the guys that are older in our business, you know, they kind of came up where they go to a legacy brand, the New York Times, Sports Illustrated, whatever, even ESPN, you know, and it's like, well, it's not my job to find the consumer. And it's like, well, in 2020 it is. And so, you know, like I said, I'm pretty active on Twitter, probably some days way more than others. Same with Instagram, same with YouTube. But I think at the end of the day, Robert, it's really just about going to where the consumers are.
So you're talking about the consumers a lot. As being a national guy who doesn't cover just one specific beat, how hard is it to be objective in your journalism and to not really show favoritism towards specific programs? I know you like Eric Musselman at Arkansas, but how difficult is it to not focus on one thing and to try to make everybody happy?
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't think I never try to make anybody happy. You know, my job isn't to make people happy. And I've actually found, you know, the demand, I don't know if demand is the right word, but the interest in my content has gone up since this pandemic started. And I think it's because, you know, I think, and you guys might disagree, you know, Arkansas fans and even non-Arkansas fans think that I have this like weird obsession with Musselman. I just think he's really good at what he does. But you know, like to me, I never worry about if it's going to upset somebody from a sports perspective. Now, certainly if I'm going to say something offensive, that's going to be offensive cultural way, then yeah, don't freaking say it. Don't be an idiot. You're not being funny, whatever. But in a sports perspective, you know, you just have to tell the truth. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've tweeted something and not really thought anything of it. And my Twitter is just an avalanche of, you hate my team, you hate this, you hate that. You know, I remember, you know, I could think of a million examples, but the point being is that, you know, I don't remember the exact question, Mason, but, you know, basically to cover a national beat, you know, I think in some ways it's easier. I think in some ways it's harder, right? I mean, it's really hard to become a super trusted voice on Arkansas when you're not there every day. And I give so much credit to all the people in that market that work so hard. You know, I know a lot of them, John Neighbors, Ty Richardson, who I think you guys have talked to, is a great friend of mine. Wes Moore is a good friend of mine. Dorian, you know, the TV reporter is a good friend of mine. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. I know her as Dorian Kraft before she got married. But, you know, I can't cover them better. But like I said, I try to bring something interesting. And sometimes, in some ways, it is easier to say interesting stuff because, you know, and I'm not even talking about the coaching staff specifically, but, you know, there's sometimes where a coach or an assistant, they're more comfortable talking to me than they are the local guy, because the local guy or girl is only covering that beat and they don't want it to get out. And, you know, if I say something on my podcast, you know, about Arkansas, that's maybe quote unquote insider information, I'm not even saying anybody talks to me. They keep things pretty, you know, close to the vest over there, but you know, it gets out on my podcast. It's not going to have the same effect as John Neighbors says it on his radio show, or if Ty or Phillipson say it on their radio show. So I bring all this up to say, like, in some ways, I think it's easier. You know, having a quote-unquote national platform, I think, does open some doors. But I also think, realistically, being a local guy is very, you know, beneficial, too, to the people that do that. I mean, I mentioned Wes Moore is a good friend of mine. I know he does TV. I know he does radio. I mean, that guy's working nonstop, and he's a really well-respected voice in Arkansas. You know, you go to any beat in any, you know, college or pro town. I mean, I live in, you know, Los Angeles, and Ramona Shelburne, you know, she's so well connected with the Lakers that, you know, I know she doesn't even necessarily cover the Lakers, but she's just so well respected there that it's tough for an outsider to get access to information that she has. So all I would say is I think there's benefits and drawbacks, but the one thing, Mason, and I think people that kind of really follow my work know this, I don't think that I play favorites. If I'm really complimentary of somebody, Eric Musselman, John Calipari, Dan Hurley, the head coach at my alma mater, it's generally because they're really good, right? Like Ed Orgeron, people were like, oh, you love Coach O. Well, crap, they went 15-0 and they beat Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Auburn, Texas A&M, Texas, Oklahoma. Like, what is there not to love, you know? And so, you know, I don't think that I always say my version of the truth. If people want to disagree with it, it's fine. And that's why I'm not one of these people that generally gets that upset when people push back on me, because it's really funny. Like, I have people, oh, Torres, all you do is hot takes, you're this, you're that. If I believe it to be the truth, even if it isn't common perception, I don't think it's a hot take, you know? And so I don't know if all that made sense. I went a lot of different directions, but that's just generally how I approach everything that I do.
Staying on the topic of you being on the national beat, how much traveling do you have to do, and how often do you actually attend games that you're covering?
Yeah, you know, when I was younger, working for FoxSports.com, I did more. Right now, where I'm now, it's really not that much, because, you know, I host the national recap show on Fox Sports Radio on Saturday night. And so, as you can imagine, anything going on in, you know, I can't travel on Saturday, you know. I actually was supposed to come down to the Kentucky-Arkansas game this year in basketball, and I couldn't come because we couldn't find a studio for me to do my show. So during the week, you know, I try to get to whatever local games I can. You know, I mean, I can get to Vegas for a night. I can get to Phoenix for a night, whatever. But like with college football, I haven't been to a live college football game in probably 3 or 4 years since I really started this radio show. Basketball is a little bit easier, but, you know, that's also part of doing your homework, doing your prep. You know, I try to watch as many games as I can. I try to spend, you know, the weekdays on the phone with people, texting, calling, you know, and mostly it's just to catch up, but you gather information along the way. You learn stuff along the way, because like you said, Robert, you know, I can't, you know, like I said, if I'm competing with John Neighbors on the Arkansas beat and he can be at every practice and every game, I can't compete with that. And so I'm just trying to gather as much information as I can. And you know, it goes back to what you guys asked me to at the beginning about, you know, my career and how did I get started? I mean, my life is sports 365 days a year. I mean, I actually this morning, just because of some stuff I had to do early, I mean, I was up at 4 a.m. and it's, you know, 2:30 right now, in the afternoon, and I haven't really stopped, you know, and some of it is a couple phone calls, some of it is reading, some of it is a couple tech. I obviously had some articles to pump out, you know, stuff like that, but it doesn't, you know, doesn't stop, but I love what I'm doing. So I'm by no means complaining, but that's how I try to stay in the loop. Is just stay on the phone with people, stay connected. I'm a talker, obviously, as you guys can tell by nature. So I like being on the phone. I like catching up with people. And I just try to do that as much as I can to stay as informed as I can. And you can never cover every base, but you just try to do as much homework and as much prep work as you can.
So where you're at in Fox Sports right now, I'm sure you're pretty happy, but are there bigger goals for you? Is there a higher goal that you want to achieve, or do you think this is where you want to end your career?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think everybody's always looking for more challenge. And I think that's the big thing is challenge and opportunity. And so, you know, I look at the careers of guys, you know, Chris Broussard's a good friend of mine. And, you know, he really is known for covering the NBA. But he also hosts a national radio show that's fantastic with Rob Parker. And I kind of model my career. Can I be like Chris Broussard and really have an area of expertise if it's college basketball, but also talk other stuff? Chris does an awesome job. You know, Doug Gottlieb's kind of in the same boat where, you know, Doug played college basketball, played professional basketball, but he's talking about the NFL on Fox Sports Radio. And so, you know, I think to me, that's my end game is I would love to be a studio guy. You know, Fox obviously has some great college basketball, including the Big East, my alma mater, UConn, went back there. So, you know, I would love to be a studio guy that does some college hoops, maybe does a little sideline here or there, and then also jump into the radio studio in an ideal world every day and, you know, host a 2 or 3 hour radio show like Colin, like Clay Travis, like Doug Gottlieb, and talk about stuff besides college hoops. I mean, you know, I think to me, you know, and it's something that everybody struggles with, guys, and I know you guys are just starting out in your career, but, you know, you always struggle with, do I go down the very narrow road of just talking one sport or one beat or one whatever, or I really try to broaden it out? And so to me, I've been able right now to find a balance of both. You know, I do think about what would happen if somebody offered me, say, a full-time college basketball job where that's all I was doing. I don't know what my answer would be. I do like talking other sports. I do find the NBA playoffs and the NFL playoffs and NBA free agency, I find all that stuff really fun to watch and really fun to talk about. And so yeah, there's always going to be bigger goals. There's always going to be bigger challenges and things that I want. To answer your question, Mason, I really enjoy what I do. I honestly do. But I think everybody in the business from Colin Cowherd on down is always looking for new challenges.
All right, we're going to hit this rapid fire round. We got a few random questions for you.
Sure.
Started off, what city that you've been to has the best food in your opinion?
Oh, man. I really like Chicago-style pizza. I love going to Chicago. I grew up in Connecticut, so when my wife and I go back to Connecticut, we'll sometimes just stop in Chicago for a day, walk around, eat some pizza, have a good time. Vegas has incredible food, anything you want. And New York City, too. I mean, it really is. You can get anything, anytime, anywhere. So those are, like, probably the three most generic answers I could possibly give. But that's kind of how I feel.
Now, you have a long list of really big names that you've interviewed, like Jerry Rice and Randy Moss. So out of all the sports figures, it could be a coach, could be an athlete that you've interviewed, who are you most nervous to interview?
Probably Jim Calhoun. I told you guys a minute ago, but I grew up in Connecticut, and, you know, I can't describe how big Jim Calhoun was when I was a kid in Connecticut. It'd be the equivalent of growing up an Alabama football fan, and 10 years from now, Nick Saban retires, and you get a chance to Nick Saban on a podcast. So I would say probably that one. And also because Calhoun's a hard ass, and now he's nice now, you know, once you get away from the basketball court, but he can be really tough. And if you ask the wrong question, if you're not prepared, if you reference something that is inaccurate, he'll jump on you now. And so I think that was the combination of me growing up watching him and being a part of that culture, with also the fact, you know, he's a little rough around the edges sometimes, or at least he was years ago. I think he's softened now. I would say probably Jim Calhoun.
If you can recall it, what was the last movie you watched, and what did you think about it?
Well, I hadn't seen, you know, what's crazy about this quarantine, there's probably about three or four movies that I hadn't seen. I'm not a big movie guy, and I hadn't, there's probably three or four movies that I hadn't seen in like 20 years that I've watched in quarantine. The most recent one was There's Something About Mary, which is probably a little bit before your guys' time, but it's pretty crazy. There's a lot of stuff that was said in that movie that they couldn't say in movies today, but that was the most recent one, and it was really fun. It really was.
If you,
you guys know about Something About Mary, or is that like, do you have no idea what that is?
I feel like I've heard of it before, but I haven't seen
it. Ask, like, if you have like an older cousin or brother, don't ask your parents. It'll be awkward, but okay. it's a really funny movie. It's just like I said, you could not make that movie, in 2020. Let me just put it that way.
Okay. If you could cover any school's college basketball beat, if you had to pick one program in all of the United States, which program would it be?
Probably Kentucky. You know, I mean, I know that program really well. But there's nothing like it in college basketball. Now, college football, there's some wild programs, but it is a 365 day a year. And you guys, again, are too young. But look at pictures of John Calipari, his first year versus now. I always say Kentucky is really the only college basketball program that is covered like a college football program, where if you lose on Saturday, all anyone wants to talk about on radio until the next game is what went wrong, what's going wrong, can it be fixed, are we screwed, this and that. I mean, even the other prominent programs, you know, Kansas, you know, you still have the Chiefs in that area, you still have the Royals, you still have other stuff, North Carolina, there's pro sports. Kentucky is pretty much, like I said, if you lose, you never hear the end of it. I mean, you don't, and it is a stressful beat, but I think being in that fishbowl every day for a year, I think it actually be really fun. I really do.
I don't know if you watched the Eddie documentary from ESPN about Eddie Sutton, but
you saw parts of it. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
The difference between his experience at Arkansas and like the day he got to Kentucky shows how crazy basketball is in Kentucky. And so I couldn't imagine covering that beat. I can't imagine being the coach at Kentucky. It's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. I tuned in right as he got to Kentucky. And obviously there were some dark moments there, and it's not criticizing, it's just a fact, you know, but them talking about him showing up to work under the influence of alcohol, to your point, Mason, I think it shows pressure of things. And it's just crazy because, you know, and I give Calipari, and people, that's another one, Calipari, oh, you love Calipari. You have to understand, those fans expect to get the number one recruiting class every year, be the number one conversation point. If there's a number one top transfer, they expect to be in the conversation, and they expect you to win the national championship every single year. And it is just, I'm just telling you, like I know, you know, Matt Jones is the most prominent radio host down there. I've filled in for him, and I'm telling you, it's the only college basketball program that is covered like a college football program, where you guys know Ohio State, Tennessee, Georgia, you lose on Saturday, it is DEFCON 5 until the next Saturday, and you better hope you win the next Saturday. That's how it is at Kentucky for four or five straight months during basketball season. You lose one game, it's just it's a disaster. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me about your ideal concert. Who are you seeing and where are you seeing them play?
I'm not a concert guy. I've been to a few. I live right near the Rose Bowl, so I've been to a few. My wife and I went to see Beyonce once, which was fun. Rihanna and Eminem about 5 years ago, which I'm old school. I'm too old for you guys, but Eminem was my guy back in the day. I saw a Pitbull concert, which was actually really fun, but as you can tell, I think my musical tastes stopped evolving at like some point around 2014. So, I'm just not a huge music guy. I'm not, and even when I'm in the car, people make fun of me because I'll say I don't listen to music. Well, what do you listen to? I listen to a sports podcast. I listen to sports radio. Very rarely am I ever listening to music. So I'm just not a big music guy. I'm just not.
Understandable. That's dedication to your craft. So tell me, last question here. You can only watch one sport for the rest of your life, and it can't be baseball, football, or basketball. What are you watching?
So, like, college doesn't count, right?
College does not count. Pro college, you can't watch baseball, football, or basketball. You get to watch whatever sport you want, though.
I'm trying to think about what I enjoy. I don't really like watching golf. I don't know. I don't like tennis. I don't like I enjoy the Olympics. I mean, I don't know if the Olympics count. You know, what I will tell you guys is this, is that I'm pretty good at when it's time to disconnect, it's time to disconnect. And so, like, when college hoop season ends, I usually take, like, 2 or 3 weeks where I don't watch anything, and then I'll pick up the NBA playoffs about the second round of the playoffs or so. So, Robert, to answer your question, I mean, I am a sports junkie, but I'm not, like, you know, watch the MLS or something on a Tuesday night if there's nothing else on. I'll read a book. I'll whatever. I don't know. I don't know what I would watch, and I don't know if I would miss it. I mean, my passions are really football and basketball, and really when you factor in the offseason, the draft, all that stuff, I mean, it basically goes for 11 and a half months out of the year. So I don't really miss much, and if I couldn't watch either, I don't really know what I would do. I really don't.
I'm a huge hockey guy, so I do have to ask you, do you have any love for the NHL?
Well, it's a very crazy story, Robert. So, again, I'm going to date myself, but when I was growing up, there was an NHL team in Hartford called the Hartford Whalers, who are now the mm-hmm. Carolina Hurricanes. I have probably been to more NHL games in my life than Major League Baseball, NBA, and NFL combined. But I've been to, I think, one NHL game, maybe two, in the last 20 years. I think they left Hartford in 97 or so. Yeah. But my uncle was a season ticket holder. I used to probably go to 15, 20 games a year for 4 or 5 years of my childhood. I was at their last game in franchise history. I still vividly remember it. So I used to be a hockey guy. I really did. And I've kind of grown out of it. But I'm telling you, man, I've been to more NHL games in my life than probably the other three major sports combined.
Gotcha. I'm a big fan of the Whalers goal song, the Brass Bonanza.
There you go. I love that. The Brass Bonanza, yep.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on. I'm a big fan of your work. I think that you're very underrated, first of all. I think that you should be more prominent, not because you're not doing enough work, but because people should talk about you and listen to you more. And you have a subscriber in me for a long time, and I appreciate your work, and I appreciate you coming on.
Well, both of you, I appreciate it, man. And you guys keep up doing what you do. Anything I can ever do to help, I know we're still recording, but, you know, when we finish recording, anything I can ever do to help, you always let me know, man. And you know, one thing about me, I reference it off the top. You know, Colin Cowherd has played a huge role in where I am right now. Clay Travis has played a huge role. And I'm grateful to the people that have done stuff for me. So if there's anything I can ever do to help, guys, please don't hesitate to ask.
Thanks so much, Aaron. We really appreciate it. What a treat to have Aaron Torres from Fox Sports join us on Press Roots this week. It was a great chat with him. We learned a lot. It was really cool to be able to pick his brain. Once again, we apologize for the mix-up with Danny West. We're hoping that he will be able to join us next week, the July 27th episode. But just in case he can't, we'll keep you posted on Twitter at Press Roots Pod. Be sure to follow that account. Send us a tweet, a DM, any feedback or suggestions you might have. Once again, thank you for listening to Press Roots, and we'll see you next week.